Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Real Fake Baseball on Friends with Fantasy Benefits. This is your host, Paul Martin, and I'm actually not going to host the whole show today. I'm just doing the startup because, you know, Walter doesn't feel comfortable with the beginning of the podcast. He just likes the meat of the podcast. That's his favorite part. So I'll just let him do the rest
of
it.
Whoa.
What?
This is just a know your role type of thing.
Know your role. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I defer to someone who's
you
better.
Like meat. You're the one that likes the meat on the podcast.
Exactly. You get like the,
exactly.
You get like exactly. You get like the fat, the like skin.
The skin. All right. I was thinking more like the bread of a sandwich, but if you want to be disgusting about it, that's Walter. You'll hear more from him later. At RealFakeWalter on Twitter is where you can find him. At PaulTheMartin is where you can find me on Twitter. Because who wouldn't want to find us on Twitter now after that banter? And also, who wouldn't want to vote for us or nominate us, I suppose, for the podcast awards this year? 13th annual podcastawards.com. I hear that Justin is going to send us to accept the award, too. I don't know if you've heard this, but there's something about us being, like, the most likable.
That makes sense.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense.
I can't argue with the logic there.
That's a likable statement right there, if I ever heard one. That made you sound super likable. Anyway, we're doing that thing where we're trying to be funny at the beginning of podcasts, and it's not working. So go nominate us, not us, because we're terrible, but the rest of the people that do the good podcasts on Friends with Fantasy Benefits, like Mike the Rotocop, who just did an interview or set up the interview with me and him and John Duplantier yesterday, which can be found on YouTube. And I think it should be going up on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits feed over on iTunes. So that's the kind of stuff that we do over here. That's the kind of stuff, you know, that deserves to be nominated for a podcast award, I would think. I enjoyed the conversation and I was just a part of it. So if you get to listen to it, imagine how dope that's going to be.
Yeah, I heard you roasted J. Cole.
I did. No, I mean, I didn't roast him. He said I had a good point. If there's no other reason to listen to this podcast, it's to hear a J. Cole stan actually tell someone that they had a good point in criticizing J. Cole. That never happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a J. Cole stan. Not too much like you are with Kanye, but I don't even know what your point was. But
well, my point is that you think you could take a good point about J. Cole criticism?
Yeah, I can usually take some criticism. Unlike you with Kanye, if I say anything about it, you have to search 13 Twitter posts and send them to me to defend him.
Yeah, basically. Well, I preface every conversation about Kanye by saying, don't even start. I think I do that most of the time. You already know at this point that it doesn't matter. You're just going to say what you have to say because you're Walter and that's what you do. So you don't care. But every time I have a conversation with a normal person, they try to bring up Kanye, like a normal person, I just tell them, just stop. Just don't, because you're not going to see me be normal in a few minutes.
I think it's just the best part watching you like come up with all these things and rationalize all the stuff. It is awesome. Really, hit Paul up on Twitter and say that Kanye is like he's fake and all this stuff, and then you'll just see him unwind. Like it'll be beautiful.
Yeah, I'll be like, he's fake, right? Check this YouTube video at 3:28. Here's the link. You could see his facial features. There's a slight twitch in his eye that makes it seem genuine, you know? Like, that's the kind of stuff that I'll pull out of the woodwork. So just get ready for it, because it's fun. That's at PaulTheMartin on Twitter. You can hit me there. And
all right,
yeah.
What we do have this week is set quote unquote second half, because okay, obviously we know it's past the halfway point. We don't need anybody to tell us that. It's just post All-Star break, so it's nice to say second half. Just so much easier. Post All-Star break sounds terrible, but I posted in the Bullpen Facebook group, which I know me and you, well, you not as much as me anymore, both frequent. And I just had people put some bold predictions, and I told them I was going to use it in our podcast. So we have some, and some of them are pretty good, and some of them, as you would guess, are pretty bad. So, and I told them I was going to make fun of some of their bold predictions, and no one said don't use mine. So,
oh wait, so we have. Also, since we clearly planned this podcast so far in advance, can we also talk about the Futures game after, Walter? Because we both went to that, and we kind of had a lost podcast before the Futures game, which was a Futures game prep podcast that kind of got lost as I was traveling to Baltimore. So maybe we could just talk about what we saw there, and we could do that after, though. It's not a big deal.
Sure, since I already prefaced what we're about to talk about.
Well, yeah, but we could just hint. Yeah, we could do after that, because we could do, like, we're just hinting. We're, I don't know what you call that. I didn't take journalism classes.
All I know is that New Oriole used Neil Diaz, hit two dongs.
Ding dings. Yeah, double dings. We could talk about that after. Okay. But we were both there, so
we didn't talk about the trades that happened. But we'll talk about the trades,
oh,
too.
Oh, my God, the trades. Yeah, there was only a couple big ones. Do you want to start with that, or do you want to?
No, we're already into the bold prediction. Oh, okay, we can talk about the trade. So Machado for five prospects.
We also have bold predictions.
Anything? does Machado's value change at all? No, for me. No. I don't think there's too much to talk about there. I like the package that they got. Honestly, like, you can't expect much more.
I don't know.
You can't really expect much more for a rental.
I mean, the Yankees got Gleyber Torres for a rental, and it was a reliever. It wasn't even Manny Machado.
Yeah, you can't use that as, like, the
benchmark. It's the outlier.
The benchmark. Yeah, that's a complete outlier. Like, yeah. Look at what JD Martinez brought back in.
Dawel Lugo. Lugo? Futures game stud. Didn't do anything.
He didn't look good at all. Like, I'm just saying, it's like, you, like, Rylan Bannon is at least raking in high A. Like, yeah. So
they bought high on Rylan Bannon. That's great. Good move.
Yusniel Diaz has more walks than strikeouts in double A.
Diaz is good. Diaz is a really good prospect.
Yeah. I can't think of the pitcher's name right now. I'm completely blanking on that. No, not that one.
The other one.
Yeah, the other one.
Doesn't matter. Because now he's a pitcher in the Baltimore system, right?
Oh, God, please don't do this.
Okay, just don't go into it again. I just wanted to do it just so you would sigh.
We're not going to
Don't get into it again. You'll talk for too long. Your baby's going to wake up, and then we're not going to be able to get into anything.
Yeah, because the Orioles, D.L. Hall and Zach Lothar, they both look good this year. I don't know.
Bowman doing? Is he still really good?
I haven't really checked too much on him, but I think it was a decent return. Obviously, you can't get too much for a rental, but Yusniel Diaz is a good piece to get back.
Yeah, Bowman's pretty trash right now, but yeah, okay.
do you wanna talk about Brad Hand? I know both of us made little Twitter posts about.
Oh yeah, we made some. We had some takes out there.
Yeah, it's pretty much they picked up a guy off waivers. Made him a full-time reliever, signed him to an extension, and then traded him for a top 20 prospect.
Yep.
I mean, and then Adam Simber, okay, he's been good, but
he's like a
26-year-old sidearm.
Yeah, he's
righty.
A 27-year-old sidearm rookie. Yeah, that just kind of he's a deceptive arm. Like, those guys only
like
last so long.
O'Day.
Huh?
I said maybe he can be like a Darren O'Day.
Yeah, I was gonna say, or like maybe like a Joe Smith or something. Like,
yeah, they're good, but it's like, okay, they're fringy. Like, especially on a rebuilding team, you just don't need them. Like,
yeah,
you'll find the next Adam Simber by the next time your team is good.
And even Brad Hand, you could find another. Obviously, they found Brad Hand himself, so they could try to try their hand at finding the next Hand.
Oh my! Please stop. No,
but
is really good.
But you know what? It should be said, though, that the Indians do need these guys in order to, stay competitive in the AL. So I do think that both sides did get what they needed. And I think that maybe not you, but I definitely think Mejia is better than a lot of people expect. People are throwing him down their boards a little bit further right now just because he's moving off catcher. But I think the bat plays, man. I'm a believer in Mejia's bat.
Yeah, with Mejia, I think that the Padres just said that they're going to keep him at catcher. So I don't know about you. I think he was an expendable piece specifically for the Indians because they weren't going to keep him at catcher. And because they're a contending team. And I don't think Austin Hedges on a rebuilding team is going to stop them from trying to keep him at catcher. I think this is a good move for his dynasty value personally. And I've seen people say that it's bad because of the park and all that stuff. But it's just like him keeping catcher eligibility is the most important piece in my opinion.
And I don't think, I mean, Cleveland is not like it's not a wonderland for hitters. Like it's a park, like it's a normal park. It's nothing, you know, that's going to benefit him in the long run. San Diego is pretty much the same now. It's playing more neutral than anything else. So, you know, I'm not too worried about that. I think San Diego is also just a really nice place to live too. And I think that he could probably get used to it there and he'll probably be fine. They have a great team in the minor leagues right now, ready to go. Poor Fernando Tatis, that's going to suck. But, you know, we could still see Arias this year. We could still see Naylor this season. I mean, we could see a lot of guys in September this year that could really make the Padres look exciting. And Mejia might be one of them. So definitely could see him even later this season. Let's see. I think we're good. Nothing really. Domingo Acevedo coming up for the Yankees. That's kind of exciting. Been waiting for that for a while. He should join the bullpen, which is in need of a little bit of help. I don't think there's too much else going on. It looks like
Familia's gonna be out, but I don't think they've set a team.
No, I didn't see any team yet. I know that there was talk about the Athletics and the Red Sox, but I think the Red Sox were confirmed a no, and the Athletics were having a problem with the money.
Someone took on more money. Oh my gosh, that's so Mets of them, but.
Could be the Yankees. Who knows? I mean, it could be a lot of teams right now. It could even be the Indians. They could be trading for more bullpen help. Who knows? So I'm kind of just I have Familia's name up here on Twitter. So if anything happens,
yeah, I think you just need to pick up Robert Gesellman as the next closer for the Mets.
That's very true. I think that he could be. And I mean,
the only thing is he's not that good.
No, he's not that good. And I would much rather him, you know, be pitching a couple innings for them out of the bullpen, like a Lugo situation. I feel like that's where he's most, you know, if he's good at all, that's going to be the role that he's good in. Not really a closer role. He's not that dominant. I don't think his stuff is that dominant. I think, but who else is there? What's his name is coming back? The dude that was suspended.
Henry Mejia?
Yeah, he's coming back.
He's gonna slot
right in as the closer.
Like the prodigal son returns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they kick Familia out.
God, if he ends up being a closer, I'm just gonna laugh so hard. Henry Mejia closing again. But yeah, I think that's just going to be just another closer that just loses their job right here, right now. You got to be careful with those closers on bad teams. I think you need to be very proactive on picking up the setup men for the really bad teams. Like, I would definitely be picking up like Michael Givens right now from the Orioles. Cause I think that Brock and Britton are going to be gone. And I mean, that's all I have. Oh, Carlos Martinez just hit the DL with a strained oblique. So
who you? What does that mean? What are you doing there?
Nothing. I just had to.
Oh, you just wanted to let us know. Thanks, Walter. Appreciate that.
Yeah, breaking news that you will have already seen.
Yeah, that you definitely have seen by the time that this comes out. But yeah, I appreciate that. All right, thank you.
We'll move on to our bold predictions.
Definitely.
How about that?
Yes, please. All right.
So our first bold prediction. Hold on, I gotta pull it back up, but I'll tell you his name, but it is Max Rubin says Tim Tebow hits at least 7 home runs in September for the Mets.
At what level?
He said for the Mets.
For the Mets specifically, the New York ones, the ones that play in Citi Field.
I'm guessing so. I don't know why. Yeah, this
in like an exhibition home run derby.
I'm not even sure he would get 7 in a home run derby.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. He might play. He might play, but he's not hitting 7 home runs in a month. Yeah, that's not happening. Nah. Next.
Nah. All right, so we got Darren Florent said Jorge Polanco is a top 5 fantasy shortstop.
All right, top 5 real quick. What Lindor, number 1.
I think Trey Turner.
Trey Turner, number 2. Well, yeah, they could be. Trey Turner's probably a little bit better for fantasy. Jeez, man.
Let's see.
I don't want to be wrong here because there's obviously some obvious. Javier Baez, definitely. Gleyber Torres.
Alex Bregman.
Segura, Manny Machado.
Yeah.
Nah.
Xander Bogaerts, Tim Anderson. Yeah, he's not. No, sorry. That's
he could
that's
be very good. He could be top 10, but I don't think top 5. No, AL only top 5 possible.
That's a no for me.
AL, that's a no for me, dog. It's all bold, right. Very bold. That I'll give you that. Very bold.
All right. So this guy Ray Wright says Tim Anderson.
Ray Rice.
Ray Wright.
Oh, jeez.
Post All-Star break line for Tim Anderson. 285, 17 home runs, 45 runs, 37 RBIs, and 29 stolen bases.
So, wow. Okay, so he's going to have like a – oh, he's going to have what, 15 and 29 in like what, 60 games?
Yeah.
50 games possibly? Wow.
Yeah.
That
pretty
is
insane.
I would
not gonna happen.
That's bold. That's very bold. I would love for that to happen, but I think that we can. I do think that Tim Anderson is a beast, and he's been playing really well this season. The plate discipline looks slightly better, and he is still really raw. So the fact that he is improving that in his first big league season, a full season at least, that's promising for him. And I think that he could have seasons like that, like a lot of seasons like that. As far as halves like that, probably not, but he is a beast.
Oh, yeah. I think that he's a very talented player. He's going to have really – I mean, he has 13 home runs and 21 stolen bases. He's provided plenty of value on the full season just over this first half. Like, yep. His counting numbers are awesome.
People were kind of expecting that from Manny Margot, I think, and he's – look at him, man. He's terrible, huh? It's good with him.
Nothing. There's nothing good with him. but yeah, so I think that's a note. We have an interesting one here. Andrew McQuiston, who is a friend of our podcast. He's been on here before.
Yeah.
He says,
stop. If you're listening, stop trying to trade for Wander Franco.
Blake Snell has an ERA over 4 in the second half.
That's very possible. I don't even think that that's very bold. I think, you know, a few bad starts, which is happens to everyone. I don't think Blake Snell is immune to bad starts. He's no, you know, Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale.
Well, even those guys have a 2.27 ERA currently.
For
so
sure.
I think saying over 4 is pretty bold.
Definitely, but we've seen people kind of go over, like, just for a half. It's not even a half, like we said. How many starts is he realistically going to get over the second half, you know? So could be 7 or 8. If 3 of those starts are bad, that's all it's going to take.
Well, I think he's in line for, like, 12 or 13 over the second or for the rest of the season.
It also is the Rays, and they have nothing really to play for, so they could skip him here and there for a opener. You know.
An opener.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot of people have him in the top 10, so I think it's moderate. I think it's pretty bold to say over 4. That's
I think this is the one that can happen, though.
Yeah, yeah. This is definitely the most realistic.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Next.
So next we have Randy Stacy Jr. Eugenio Suarez hits 21 home runs, giving him 40 on the year while leading the Reds to above 500 record, securing the MVP.
And Enenhinenu Suarez.
Your least
You're telling
favorite
me the guy that I just wish was out of the MLB so I never had to say his name ever again. Nenenhinenu. He's not going to be MVP. Because no one can vote for him because no one knows how to spell his name.
Well, they know how to spell. They don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah. Okay, fair. But that is extremely bold. Do you say this was a fun one? Why? Because you wanted to hear me say his name?
No, I didn't say this was a fun one.
Oh, okay.
I said securing MVP. 21 home runs is a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of home runs.
Like, I don't know. He's been great, though. Like, he has 19 home runs and 71 RBI this year while hitting 315. He's been insane. And I don't know. It just seems – it's so weird. This might turn out to – the Eugenio Suarez trade may turn out to be one of the most lopsided you'll see in recent memory. Do you remember what he was traded for?
No, enlighten me.
Alfredo Simón.
Ooh.
Straight up.
I love some Alfredo sauce. I remember Alfredo Simón. He was good for one start or two, yeah. Maybe.
No, he was one of those the vintage Chuck Anderson results guys.
Don't call out Chuck like that. Come on, Walter. Relax. Calm down.
He was the Matt Boyd before Matt Boyd.
Oh, I love me some Matt Boyd, too. See, there's a trend here. I'm turning into Chuck. We need to stop this.
No, but, yeah, he's been awesome. I don't see him hitting 20 home runs the rest of the way, though. That's going to be kind of crazy. And then Matthew Gary just says, Sousa time.
That's your boy.
I said, which means, and he said...
You know what it means, you bozo. Tell us what it means, Walter.
That he's terrible? I mean, I don't know.
He takes batting practice with strobe-like glasses on. Don't you buy into this narrative? Have you seen this?
Is this true?
Yeah, you didn't see that one? He actually cares about baseball. It's weird.
Yeah, I just don't think Steven Souza's...
Yeah, I'll send you the linker.
Okay. I just don't think Steven Souza's very good. But so I think we can move on from here. Sam Armstrong says... Rhys Hoskins finishes with 40 or more homers.
I like that one. I think that could possibly happen. He's shown us that he can hit a ton of homers in not a lot of time. He did that last year, and he did that in the Home Run Derby. And he's just a great hitter. I think me and you really both love Rhys Hoskins. We were high on him before the season, and... I think that's very possible. What does he have right now? 14? 15? Does he have one since the break? Or?
No, he has 14 right now. And
so he needs 26. That's a lot of home runs.
That is a lot of home runs. We were just talking about that with Suarez. But
how many did he hit at the end of last year?
He hit 18 in 50 games last year.
Right. So he needs 8 more than that and maybe like 10 more games if he plays all of them. What are they?
Yeah, it's...
We had 90 games before the All-Star break this year for most teams. Like 85 to 90 games.
No, it's I think it's like I think it's like 95.
Wow.
Like around that, like 95.
So most
games.
People have like 60 to 65 games left if
yeah,
they play the full
season.
I mean, 60 to 65. Well, I'm saying players because obviously people are going to get a couple days off here and there. I'm sure Rhys Hoskins is going to have. So he's probably going to play 60 to 65 more games, even if they have 70.
Yeah, like a lot of teams have played like 95, but then like the Red Sox have played 99 games.
Yeah, they've gone crazy this year. Who's talking about their schedule? No, someone's got to complain. Mookie, get out there.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so 26 home runs and about like 60. Yeah, it's not going to happen. I love Rhys Hoskins, and I really hope he does because we could use him in that Battle of the Podcast League. But yeah, a lot of people are going pretty bold on these home run numbers because the next one is John Mead says Arenado, 25 home runs and 85 RBIs with a .325 batting average in the
Jeez.
Second half.
Do people know how many games are left?
I have no...
I guess you have to be bold. Like, you're not, if it's a bold prediction, you're not really trying to be right.
Like 85 RBI, that would be insane.
Yeah, that would be absolutely ridiculous. I would love to see it. I think I think this is just one of those like things where someone wants us to think that Nolan Arenado is like the best player not named Mike Trout, and because you've heard this, no?
Yeah. People love Arenado.
Yeah. I love Arenado too, but you know, I'm just that's a lot. That's a lot of stuff. That's a nice bold prediction, and we'll see. I mean, Arenado could easily be the number one player over the second half, but only if Mike Trout and Jose Ramirez aren't playing.
Yeah, if they retire. Mike Cangiano says, Rizzo, 18-plus home runs post-All-Star break.
That's something that I could see happening, and that's pretty bold considering his trash first half.
Yeah, if only there was someone telling you Anthony Rizzo was overrated and his stats were so easily found later on.
Well, if they're listening to the podcast now, they've probably been listening to us for a while. I don't know how many new people we're taking on just because we're, you know, so likable.
Yeah, but 18, I mean, that's reasonable. That would get him right to his usual 30, so I could see it happening because I could see Rizzo going on a power binge, but yeah. All right, we'll move on to the next one. Matthew Gary says, Giolito has a sub-3 ERA and almost a K per inning in the second half.
A walk per inning or a K per inning?
Said a K.
Hmm.
I think he meant 1-1 strikeout to walk.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He could have one strikeout per inning. I could see that, but how many walks? You know, that's the thing. That's the thing that's going to have to – he's going to have to change to keep his ERA down. Is he still pitching in the bigs right now? He's not, right? He can't be.
I believe he is. I haven't paid it.
Way off my radar right now.
7-15, yeah, he went pitching. 6 1/3. I mean, he's pitched well in his last two outings. He's still walking everyone, so.
Yeah. He still has a lot of talent. Like, I'm not, you know – giving up on Lucas Giolito, there's no way. But you know, he's gonna have to change something. There's no doubt. He's had, even in the past, you know, the two starts, one of them he had 3 strikeouts, 3 walks, and gave up a home run. You know, that's not the best. It was against Houston. That's a pretty good start, but man, those walks are just so atrocious. That 3.18 ERA is going to be hard to come by. What did he say? 3.18? He's very specific.
Sub 3.
Oh, yeah. Those walks are going to have to come way down. Just, he walks guys home. Like, that's good.
If Lucas Giolito is going to be good, it's just going to be on someone else's team. There's just, I don't see any reason to own him right now.
No, and I mean, his BABIP is 252. Like, people just don't hit the ball because they just don't swing at anything. Like, you know, like his BABIP is only so low because he's just letting people on via the walk. Like, and he's probably walking guys home a lot too. Like, I'm not watching too many Lucas Giolito starts right now, but the ones that I have watched this season have just been ugly. Like, it's like Sonny Gray. But
oh,
worse,
man. Sonny Gray.
It's like Sonny Gray. It's like Sonny Gray being waterboarded. Like, it's torture.
Yeah, Sonny Gray. That you and Sonny Gray. You are so adamant on him.
Me and Sonny Gray have
too.
A love hate relationship. I'm starting him today against the Mets.
Oh boy. Okay. Lou Lander says A's pass the M's for second wild card, and the Braves still make the playoffs. I think the A's do pass the Mariners.
Yeah, I like the A's team better than the Mariners. I think I liked the A's team better than the Mariners coming into the season. I know that their rotation is nothing great, but they do have some interesting stuff, and their bullpen is awesome.
The one thing I do want to see, though, is James Paxton's kind of scary in that one-game playoff. I know as a Yankees fan who probably face him, you don't want to see James Paxton.
No, definitely not.
That's a guy that can just torch all your plans.
I mean, we do have some good righties, so that's, you know, we do have a guy named Aaron. Named Aaron.
I will say that.
Gary, Giancarlo, some good right-handed hitters. But yeah, James Paxton is
carved through all of them.
Yeah, for sure.
On a good day.
But you also don't want to see Luis Severino in the one game.
Oh no, you don't. But it's like who are the A's gonna start? You want me to put a bold prediction in?
Is it gonna be our boy? Is he gonna be back? Is he gonna be pitching?
Who?
Is Cahill still pitching?
Oh, he's still pitching. No.
And he's still
you want me to be bold on who would start?
I know who you're gonna say. A's?
Who we saw in the Futures game start.
Jesus Luzardo. I knew you were going to say that.
I'm going to be bold and say he starts the one-game playoff for the A's.
That would be awesome. Oh, my God. I would become such an A's fan after that. Are you kidding me? I would root for them against the Yankees if Jesus Luzardo started that game.
That would be awesome. But
we have plenty of championships on the way. I would root for Jesus Luzardo in that game.
Oh, man. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Great. All right, so Andrew McQuiston put another one in there. He said Julio Urias wins a playoff game.
I think that could happen. He's coming back soon.
Yeah, I think that's actually reasonable.
For some reason, is it weird that I think that Urias is just going to come back and be a beast? Like, even though he completely destroyed his shoulder and really hasn't done anything, like, I still think that he just can come. Every time I've watched this dude pitch, like, he just looks like he has that. You want me to say it? He's got MP.
MP?
He's got mound presence.
Oh, man. Okay, we're moving on. Russell Jones says Chris Davis notches 20 hits in the second half. That's pretty funny because Davis is terrible, but he'll definitely get at least
Chris
20
Davis?
Hits.
Yeah.
Or
I mean,
it was Chris Davis. He had like 60 in the first half, which is awful. But
my friend Tony, who went to the Futures game with us, said that there's a bar down in Baltimore that gives
free beers
every time that Chris Davis gets a hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. But they probably haven't lost. I was saying that they probably haven't lost much money this year. Like, that he's honestly that bad.
Oh, no. You just went robot. Hello?
Oh, am I still robot?
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Jared LaRiviere. Oh, God. The Rockies win the West, riding pitching and being held by a big injury to LA, to the Dodgers in Arizona.
The injury being that they add Manny Machado, right?
Well, in the next one, Benny Jimmy Jane says Machado catches a brutal case of the yips, hitting sub 220, putting up single digit home runs in Dodger blue.
Jeez. No love.
That would suck for Machado. I still like Machado. That's still my boy.
I mean, he's a great hitter. I don't really see him being that bad just because he went to just the fact that he brought up the yips, like just acting like Manny Machado is just going to like fail because it's LA. Like, I don't like that. Like, sure, maybe he can slump once he goes to LA, but I don't think it's because it's LA. I think any player could go through a slump and go into the NL after being on a team for as long as he was in that organization. Like, you know, that's tough to go to a new team. It's just like the Stanton thing. Like, he started off slow this year, and people said it was because he couldn't handle the pressure in New York, whatever. But, I mean, after being on one team for 8 years and trying to figure out a whole new living situation, cold weather in New York, like, all of these things, like, it's going to be an adjustment for Manny Machado, just like it was for Giancarlo Stanton. But good hitters figure it out, and I think that he's going to be fine. And even if he hits 220 over the last half, I think that there's going to be some playoff heroics coming for Manny Machado this year.
All right. Well, that was a long way of saying he's going to be fine. Jack Wayne says Benintendi finishes 35-35.
What is he at right now? Is he 2020 yet?
No, he is not 2020 yet.
Okay.
I believe he is at, I will check it right now, he is at 14 home runs and 17 stolen bases.
So a lot of home runs for Benintendi to hit over the second half.
Yeah, like, he'd need 16 home, he'd need more than he had in the first half.
I could easily see 25-25. Maybe even 25-30. I just don't think the 30 home runs is in it this year. I think it's coming for him, but I think he is Jose Ramirez last year. Maybe next year he's Jose, like, he's a year behind Jose Ramirez, basically. So next year he hits 30 home runs and steals 30 bases. This year he's more 25-25.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever going to be like a 30 home run hitter, really. I guess like I always thought like 20-25, and but I think he can easily get the 30 steals. Speaking of Jose Ramirez, he's already at 30-20, which is just insane.
We were talking about him. Like we were talking about him at the Futures game. Like we were like, you know, what if he gets a combo meal today to go 30-20 before the All-Star break? And yeah, he ended up getting a steal that day, but not the home run. And then first game out of the gates after the All-Star break, he gets the home run to go 30-20. He's just absolutely unreal.
Yeah, that was insane. Max Rubin again says Miles Straw leads MLB in stolen bases during the second half.
Oh, I love me some Miles Straw. He had an insane catch last night too. Did you see that? I retweeted that today.
No, I haven't really been on Twitter this morning.
Oh, man. He's a great defensive center fielder. The only thing is, if they could find a way to put him in the lineup right now, I like Tony Kemp. I don't think you take Tony Kemp out right now. He's looking good. He plays a good left field.
But I think he could be a guy that they bring up in September.
For pinch running, for sure.
Yeah, pinch running.
Yeah, like a Terrence Gore sort of situation.
Yeah, I could see this happening.
Yeah. For sure. I love Miles Straw. I don't know if you necessarily want to start him in fantasy if that's what he's doing, but it would be interesting to see him get in the lineup just to see how his speed plays at the big league level, because he is super fast. And watch that play from last night. He was running up, like they still have a hill in one of their he's at Fresno right now, then the Fresno Park, and he tripped going up the hill. And he got up and dove to the left and made the catch, like, right after he fell down. It was awesome. Like, Miles Straw, great. I think he's a great prospect to own right now. If you probably picked him up off waivers this year, too, if you have him. I know McQuiston got him in a couple leagues, I think, and I was kind of jealous about that one. So
Brian Crump says, Carlos Gonzalez and Greg Bird each end with 30-plus home runs on the season.
Who? Carlos Gonzalez still plays baseball? Baseball.
Yeah, he's about as good at it as Greg Bird is.
Is he about as good as Chris Davis? Is he better than Chris Davis?
Oh, he's better than Chris Davis. Well, Chris Davis, if he was in Coors,
Greg Bird has looked pretty good lately. He's been coming. He's been getting his, his chicken legs underneath him because they're bound to go.
Carlos Gonzalez would need to hit 19 home runs, and Greg Bird, I believe, would need to hit 22.
He needs 30. He said over 30. Yeah, Greg needs 22 home runs.
Maybe 30 combined.
Maybe 30 combined. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Greg Bird has been hot lately, but 30 is going to be hard for him to get to. I think he can get to. He can get over 20 easily, 25 maybe. 30 is bold. Could happen, but very bold. He's been looking good lately. I do like me some Greg Bird. Carlos Gonzalez, I do not like me some Carlos Gonzalez. I'm done. Been done with him since like 2013.
I'll say the opposite. I think Carlos Gonzalez is kind of interesting in redraft leagues just because of that. I mean, he plays in Coors Field. He's still hitting 280. Got 11 home runs. Greg Bird is just awful.
How is he awful?
How is he awful?
He started off really slowly, but what is he doing lately that you're not like, oh, that's Greg Bird? Like, he's hitting home runs, he's taking walks, he's...
In his career, he has 517 plate appearances. He's hit 28 home runs with a .223 batting average.
Yeah,
and a .317 OBP.
For sure. Like, but that's still his first 517 at-bats in the plate appearances in the big leagues, which isn't even a full season. And he's been injured half the time. Like, there's no way that you could just be like, yeah, this is Greg Bird. He's terrible.
He's injured all the time, and he's not good when he does play.
I
don't know.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Do one of the two. Okay. Ruben Munoz says, is it bold to predict Buxton back in the majors doing what he did the last two seasons in the second half, thus causing great confusion next draft season and his ADP is in the third round for 2019?
I hope people aren't that stupid. Like, seriously, I hope that people don't. Even if Byron Buxton does go crazy in the second half, please don't make us go a whole season telling you not to draft him in the third round again. Like, I don't want to do it. You don't want to hear me do it. You don't definitely don't want to hear Walter do it. And I think we could just all avoid a lot of pain if we just don't draft him in the third or fourth round, even if he is nasty.
Yeah, I hope he just goes off in the second half so people do it again. I really do.
You just want to beat people up on Twitter.
Yeah, it's awesome. But so Lee Keeler says Wilson Contreras has a huge second half and establishes himself as the firm number one fantasy catcher.
I think that you can definitely argue him being the number one catcher after seeing Gary Sanchez struggle this much. I think Contreras is a great hitter. He brings a lot of power to the table. He is now Posey, like where Posey was. You know, he's going to give Sanchez that run for number one catcher every year. But, I mean, that's to say that Sanchez just doesn't get hot over the second half and make you forget all about his first half and, you know, comes through with some playoff heroics or something. Like, there's a lot of things that Gary Sanchez can do in order to be the number one catcher next year, whereas Wilson Contreras is working from the bottom up.
Yeah, Wilson Contreras is, I mean, he does remind me of Buster Posey, where it's like the nice batting average, good OBP,
mm-hmm.
good plate discipline.
Great defense. Great defense.
Okay power. But I'm still going to be taking Gary Sanchez at one personally. Oh, but absolutely. I can definitely see why people would prefer the Contreras profile. So
People are giving JT Realmuto no love right now. He's having a great season.
He's really taken it too.
I know. I don't know. I mean, we both hated him, I think, just because he's really not. He wasn't Buster Posey, but I don't know, man. The power is great this year. He did have 17 home runs last year, so I guess I didn't give him enough credit for that. But this year, I mean, the batting average is great. He definitely – I said that he wasn't fast, and he's definitely proving that this year. He has one stolen base, so he's not doing anything for you right there. But, you know, 12 home runs, pretty decent counting stats for what the Marlins are. The ISO is really good this year, too. It's 227, so that's his career high, even throughout the minors. Realmuto. Someone trade for him. Get him off the – someone save him from Miami, which
yeah, they're,
is
they're
a team that a isn't actually that bad.
They're going to want a ton for him. But, we'll move on. Tim McLeod, another friend of our podcast who's been on before, he says, Walter and Kyle Gibson are seen together sharing the cover of SI.
The body issue? Oh, yeah, so, God. Someone, that's one that stays said, on the show. That's going to stay the in the friggin' issue. Warehouse. Ew.
Yeah, and I was like, nobody wants to see that.
No. Great kindling, though. Great kindling.
Yeah. Love me some Kyle Gibson. He dominated. He got beat up yesterday, but he dominated right before.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk. Just go ahead and talk about Kyle Gibson for however long you want, unless you're
good.
Done.
I'm good. Okay. I'm good.
Then we can move on.
Cameron Frederick says, Mariners win the pennant for the first time ever. Okay, I'm just going to say this isn't happening because the Mariners aren't that good.
Well, the Mariners aren't that good, first of all, and the Houston Astros are just that good. So that's not happening.
Well, they'd also have to beat – they'd either have to beat the Astros, Yankees, or Red Sox. They'll have to beat one of those teams, and I just don't see it.
Right.
All
right, yeah.
So Timothy Scott Weber says, I've said it before, but – Burley becomes meh. And I'll read his reason. He said, a pregnant Kate Upton will ensure his mind isn't on the game, at least not to the extent it has been.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I keep thinking Verlander's going to fall apart, and it's just not happening. I think you just ride it out.
No, the only thing that's going to stop him is an injury right now, I think.
Maybe he's like the starting pitching version of Nelson Cruz.
He's just like a better version of and a more fit version of Bartolo Colon. He's just going to pitch forever and just be amazing, but he's going to actually be amazing.
A more fit version of Bartolo Colon?
Yeah.
Other than look, size, pitching,
actual
everything.
Pitching style.
Yeah, they're pretty much
just
the
in the
same.
Basic fact that he is a pitching vampire. He feasts on the blood of rookie pitchers, and apparently Ken Giles. He stole Ken Giles' talent, sent him to AAA, actually stole his mental state. I don't know. He's just a psychotic person, apparently. You see what he told? You see why he got sent to AAA?
Because he, like, cussed out the manager?
Yeah, A.J. Hinch took him out of the game, and he told him to F off.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
That's kind of dumb. Go back to...
Yeah, that was not good. But Scott Chu, who also writes for Friends with Fantasy
Holy
Benefits,
moly.
He said...
How many of these do we have, Walter?
Oh, we have a million. I'm going to cut it off, though.
Yeah, dude.
we can do... I'll look for a couple more after this that are interesting. He says... Whit Merrifield rides another post-break power wave and is the number three second base behind Altuve and Jose Ramirez rest of season with 20-plus home runs plus stolen bases and a 290/350/500 line.
Jeez, that's a lot of Whit love. I love me some Whit. I can't knock him.
No, Whit is good. 20 seems right. I don't think he's going to have too much power, though. I think that'll mostly be stolen bases.
The only thing that can stop him from being that highly ranked as a second baseman is Max Muncy. Getting that second base eligibility. Ozzie Albies, too. I mean, how many second basemen are actually out there this year that are really lighting it up, though? Just those two. Jed Lowry.
Well, I guess Javier Baez,
if you consider him, I would have him at shortstop, though, most likely.
Well, it depends on your team. Scooter.
Yeah, Scooter. Scooter's still nasty.
Peraza's actually been really good.
Yeah. Ugh. We got to eat some words on Peraza and.
Whoa. Suarez. What do you mean? I have Peraza in TGFBI.
Yeah, but we both said that he was not a good player.
Oh no, he wasn't. But I needed stolen bases. So.
Yeah.
And he's done everything.
Did you talk?
I could ask.
Did you talk bad about Eugenio Suarez or just me?
I think we called him boring on the.
Oh
the episode.
Yeah.
Oh, but I compared him with Kyle Seager.
I think you also compared him to Rizzo almost.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Boring, so. But also we did like the stats.
Yeah. Let's see if there's one. Here's the fire take. Jeff Drigger says Harrison Bader outperforms Ronald Acuna by a lot.
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, what, Acuna had two stolen bases right now, right?
He had a home run and two stolen bases yesterday.
Yeah. Not going to happen. I'm sorry. Acuna is about to go off.
It's going to take Bader a week and a half to accumulate those stats that Acuna had yesterday. He's already playing behind.
Yeah, it's not. This one's not going to happen. I don't even know why.
Like, I would have picked a different
Bader
rookie
versus Acuna. Like it's.
Yeah, I would have said like maybe Kyle Tucker or something. That's not really that bold, I guess. Though, I guess that's why Harrison Bader is kind of bold.
Yeah,
I just don't see it.
Oh, a guy, Brent Johnson, said Jose Ramirez achieves 40-40, which I don't think is – I guess
that's
the stolen
not that
bases.
Bold. All right.
Stolen bases is
going
to be hard, but the
how many,
power's there.
Pick one more, and then I want to get one from you, actually, and then I'll think of one.
I gave you my bold one.
What was yours?
Jesus Luzardo starts the wild card game for the A's.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I got to think of one. All right, give me one more.
Okay, hold on. Sean Gleason says Bryce Harper is the World Series MVP. For the world champion Yankees.
Ooh, that's bold. So he's saying that the Yankees trade for Harper now.
And win the World Series.
I mean, they have enough to trade for. They could just trade everything. Go for Harper. That makes sense. I mean, they already have a chance to win the World Series right now. If they add Bryce Harper, that would be insane. Bryce Harper's bat is made for Yankee Stadium.
Why do they need another guy who's never had a 100 RBI season?
Well, no, you know what they actually need is J.A. Happ.
Oh yeah, that's true. Good
Don't
thing,
forget that.
Or
Cole Hamels.
Ugh, God, that's disgusting.
Like it just makes me sick to think about Cole Hamels in a Yankees jersey. That's 10 years ago. I would rather have Jaime Garcia.
Cole Hamels was in the Phillies rotation when they faced the Yankees, right? At the World Series.
Yeah.
Jeez, that was a minute ago. But yeah, do you have your bold prediction?
I don't know. I don't know if I have a bold prediction just yet.
You don't have one? Okay, here I'll do one more while you think.
Okay.
Aaron Silver. Mondesi goes 10 home runs, 22 stolen bases, 255 in the second half. And Conforto figures it out again with the repeat of his first half of last year. So with Mondesi, I think he is a really interesting fantasy option because the speed, I don't think he's going to hit for that kind of power, but I could see him racking up 22 stolen bases in the second half. I think it's actually – did he change it where he's like going by Adalberto Mondesi?
Adalberto Mondesi.
Yeah, you really overemphasize the syllables.
Adalberto. I'm just trying to help you out. I'm like a literal phonetic spelling.
Yeah, so Adalberto Mondesi. I think he could have steal bases in bunches over the second half. I don't really see the power. 255 seems about right on his average. And Conforto, I just don't want any part of it. That shoulder just looks toast. But then again, I thought Matt Carpenter's shoulder was toast. So who knows? I will eat crow on the Matt Carpenter. I thought he was just done with his shoulder.
How about here's my prediction. If we're gonna go with rookie, I'll go with a rookie prediction too. Keston Hiura hits the go-ahead home run in the wild card game for the Brewers to put them past the Washington Nationals and into the divisional series.
That's pretty bold.
You like that one?
That's so random to happen, but yeah.
Well, that's good. I think that's better than being like, they're going to hit this many home. Like, I'm trying to be like, my bold prediction is basically that Keston Hiura is going to be like producing for the Brewers in the playoffs in their lineup. That's the bold prediction, but what makes it bold is that he hits a home run in the wild card game.
Yeah, I think that's bold.
Yeah. All right. So do you want to talk about, I hear babies in the background, but do you want to talk about the futures game real quick just to get your thoughts a little bit? Or
yeah, mostly I will say this. I think that if it is near you, it's an experience that you need to go to. It is awesome. Like, I mean, we met up with Scott Green from Prospects 1500. I know you have met him before, but I hadn't. And he had that panel with Ben Badler, I don't want to mess up his last name, but it was Adam from 2080 Baseball, and then they had Brent Hershey from Baseball HQ, and it was just – you missed that part, but it was really good. They gave out a lot of info, like players who they thought it would have moved up if last year's draft was redrafted, and we got to ask him about we got some cards from Scott and ask him about prospects – like what their thoughts on them were, and they were just really informative, and it was awesome. And then just meeting up with people, and I thought it was great. And that had nothing to do with what the players did, but I mean, I feel like anybody who wants to hear about the futures game pretty much watched it on TV, so you could see what happened. The only thing I will say is that I watched a replay of the Peter Alonso home run, and it did not give it justice. He absolutely annihilated that one.
Yeah, that was a monster shot. I think that I told you that he just mashes. That's all he does. Like, and I think that was like the perfect example. If we could have seen a better home run, then I don't know, man. But yeah, I mean, everyone kind of watched the game. I think anyone who was listening to this podcast probably watched the game. But I don't know, like. Players like Hunter Green got touched up, but I still think he looked good. He sat at 100 the entire time. Like, that was
yeah,
insane.
I don't think he was under – I don't think any of his fastballs went under 100.
No, like we said, Lizardo looked really good. Like, a lot of these guys just look so good in person, like, that you don't really – the watching on TV or watching the really bad, you know, minor league baseball streams just doesn't do him justice, like Jesus Lizardo or like Hunter Green. Like, his mechanics are just so smooth and so fluent I really liked what I saw out of Adonis Medina, even though he gave up that home run to Peter Alonso. He really looked good out there. And just seeing these guys play together, like we were talking about Buddy Reed and Joe Adell kind of like, you know, playing off each other in the outfield when Buddy Reed, he kind of gunned someone down from center field and Joe Adell was, you know, giving him daps and stuff like that. And Taylor Trammell thought he hit his second home run of the game. So he turned to the dugout and flashed, you know, the twos, the peace signs, basically. And when he saw he hit it off the wall, he was like, you know, oh, shit. And he started to run.
He was flying.
He still hit a triple, even though he thought it was a home run and stopped looking at the ball for half of the run to first base. He still made it to third. But then when he came home, you know, Buddy Reed comes out of the dugout and starts flashing twos back at him, the peace sign. So that was kind of fun. Like, they were just, you know, having fun out there, which was always great. That's always great to see.
We were talking about it. We're like, when did Buddy Reed and Joe Adell become, like, best friends?
Oh, yeah, right? I mean, well, Buddy Reed is just a beast. Like, can we get through that? Like, Buddy Reed looked a lot better than I expected. He played a good center field. He showed off a really good arm in center field. So I think that maybe one day, if he does play in the bigs, it could just be off that defense. But his bat is looking really good right now. Taylor Trammell looked really good. And yeah, just the overall experience. You said it. Like, that was all it was about. To me, it wasn't even seeing the players. It was like being able to walk around a park when it really wasn't that packed. Like, we had a whole bunch of room to move around. It was super hot, but just kind of getting to explore the Washington Nationals park without a full, you know, full stadium packed. That was kind of nice. And the game was just awesome. These guys were out there just really giving it their all. Like, Hunter Green sitting over 100. All of these guys were cooking a lot more than they usually do. And that was fun to see. Definitely recommend it. I drove 5 hours to get there, so I found that worth it. That was very worthwhile. It was worthwhile, I guess, meeting you. That was sort of fun, too.
Yeah, that was like the low part of the whole experience.
That brewery was nice, though.
As long as if you don't have to meet me or Paul there, you'll have a good time.
Yeah, you should have a good time. So I think that's it. You can go tend to your child now, Walter. And I think we've given the people a good show today. And I'm proud of us. I don't know about you. And I don't know.
Very proud.
Ready to go
get it out.
Get my Saturday started. So thanks for listening, everyone. At Paul the Martin on Twitter is where you can find me. At Real Fake Walter is where you can find Walter. All of my work goes through Twitter. So whether it's a Razzball piece or something on podcast for Friends with Fantasy Benefits or Pitcher Listing or Prospects 1500, it all goes through there. And whatever Walter does can be found on Twitter too. So that's the best place for him. And
Fair.
So thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next show. See ya.
Bye.